All right, fellas. Bag and tag this for evidence. Minky, take a look at this.
Whew. I haven't seen anything like this in a long time.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Got an ID?
He's currently just a John Doe, but we're running his prints as we speak. We should know soon.
Well, someone left a message on the bathroom mirror. And I think it's in blood.
What does it say?
Take a look.
Get your free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/onefinalscare.
Yeah, he wrote all that in blood. What do you think it means?
The fuck I know.
Shit. It's gonna be a long night. Wanna get some Chinese?
Sure, but this time I get to pick.
Okay. But don't act like you're above the Golden Dragon. That place is delicious.
Happy Mother's Day. I know all of you are listening to this one Sunday later, but for us, it is currently Mother's Day.
Yeah,
and we
is.
Are here doing our thing,
yeah.
Sans mothers.
And to go with the theme of Mother's Day, you're probably thinking that we are watching a movie called Mama, but we're not.
But we're not. We've already seen that in the past. Bye.
And it sucks.
Before we tell the movie, we should tell people, in case they're just tuning in, what this is. What's this all about? You might be asking yourself. Well, this is two people who both love horror movies. We're friends most of the time, and we typically like to talk over each other, maybe sometimes as we retell one horror film each episode. You're giving me a look. I mean, sometimes we both are just so excited about what we want to say. And so we run through every gory detail of one movie each week. And yes, we even tell you the end. So.
And we give you our opinion.
We give
you breakdown
our opinion.
Of what we think it means.
And sometimes we have differing opinions.
So every time.
Every time? I'd say sometimes.
Sometimes.
Which is why I was talking to another friend and who had a podcast too. It doesn't do it anymore. But I was telling him I didn't tell you this yet.
Oh.
So I was at a birthday dinner, and I was telling him and Jeff how, like, you and I started kind of arguing about something, which I don't even remember what it was, but I was telling him about it, and how like we hit pause and we like went off for like 20 minutes or
in
whatever.
A tangent, yeah.
And then they were like, "Are you fucking kidding me? Why didn't you leave that in? Like, that's important stuff. You need to leave that in." I was like, "I don't think anybody wants to hear that." And he's like, "They both were saying to keep it all in." I don't know.
Not that one.
I'm like, we have not edited out a ton, but there's certain things where we check.
That one needed
it. That
editing.
One needed it.
Yeah.
It got a little heated.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all love, but. Yeah.
It wasn't even like we were yelling or arguing.
No,
it was just
we
were
really
passionate
that.
About each other's point of view.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so anyway, they both, and I told them what it was about, and I told them both what our differing opinions were, and they were like, "You're crazy to have cut that out." And I'm like, it's definitely on the cutting room floor, and it's there for forever.
You should be like, "Let us produce our own show."
Yeah. Like, do you have a successful podcast?
Successful.
I mean, our numbers are growing, so that's successful to me.
I mean, so it gets to four digits.
Four digits. I know, right? Can we get 1,000 listeners?
we've come to begging now.
Oh wait, but hold on. You know what? Fuck that. I am happy with all of our whatever per day. I think we're getting about like 300 per day listeners. You know, I'm happy with the 300 of you. That is a big group of people. It's a big group of friends. I'm cool with it. I don't need 1,000. I just okay. I have
look
who I
look
need.
Look who's pulling back the curtains now.
You know, I'm just saying. Thank you to all. Look, in the beginning, we were like all three of you who are all of our who are just our friends. So
yeah.
We clearly have a bigger fan base. We appreciate it. I meet people who are super interested in podcasts. And when I tell them about this one, they're like, "Oh, my God, I got to listen to it."
Until the day when someone comes up to us and recognizes
us. You guys are the people from One Final Scare.
Until then, we haven't made it, Tracy.
And for now, we're just the people that wear our own t-shirts, like, endlessly, so that people are like, what is...
Just not t-shirts.
What? And, oh, You've already talked about that and your shells. So anyway, it's Mother's Day, and yes, folks, we have told our mothers that we've got to record a podcast episode today, so we are here together without them, which is sad to me. I'm sorry, Mom, if you're listening, which she does, I think, listen now. She which finally figured out podcasting.
Fine by me.
Oh.
No, don't get me wrong, listeners. I love my mother. I just saw her 2 days ago. 2 days ago. And yeah. And yeah. She got like a bunch of new furniture.
Yeah.
She bought like new bed, new nightstand set, whatever, bedroom set.
Mm-hmm.
So me and Andrew, my brother-in-law, Andrew, we had to like take apart her old furniture, bring it down to the basement, get ready to, I guess, I don't know, sell it on Craigslist or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I broke my back, literally, carrying all that
literally?
Stuff.
Literally? Your back is literally broken? I think you're fine.
It was sore. I felt like it the next morning. Anyway. So yeah, she's happy. She's got her new stuff.
New bed set?
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I saw my mom briefly while I was leaving today, and I do feel a little guilty, but she knows I love her. I'll make it up to her. For sure.
You going to make her listen to this?
I'm going to make her listen to this so episode. She knows.
Hey, you should listen
I'm
to
lamenting
this
lamenting over not hanging out.
Just letting you know. Same things. I can't say it to your face.
I usually take her to get seafood. typically somewhere on the water down in the backwoods of Southern Maryland.
What's her favorite seafood?
Fried oysters. I mean, because yes.
Because why?
Because those are her favorite. But also, like, we've gotten crabs before on Mother's Day. I think last year she got fish. I think I got crab legs. We always get seafood on Mother's Day, I think is the thing. So this year you've deprived me of seafood. Instead, I came over and had...
What? No.
I had Chinese.
What type of potato chips did you have?
But only one. You only let me have one before you quickly put the top back on because you know that I, like, will go to town on your potato chips.
You're free to open it yourself and have them.
I know.
I'm not that militant in my house.
I have one Old Bay potato chip.
Yes. So not everything is lost. The tradition lives on.
I wish that people that don't live anywhere near here understood how nutty people are who live in Maryland or Southern Maryland who are like crazy about their crabs and Old Bay seasoning. Like, did you grow up with Old Bay seasoning in your house at all given times?
Yeah. We had them around. I mean, grew up in Maryland for several years.
Yeah, yeah. But like, is Old Bay seasoning a staple? Like, do you have a can of it in your house?
Oh,
right
no,
now?
It's not a staple.
What? See?
We have other Korean seasoning that is saltier and spicier. So back off a little bit.
Okay. All right. I did, I hosted you and some of our other friends. How long ago was that now? 2-3 years? Like, you guys came down. I took you to one of Southern Maryland's finest seafood restaurants.
Oh, wow. That was like 3 years ago.
And it was like the very, very last day in the season that you could get crabs. Mm-hmm. And it definitely was a shitty day. It was like raining and stuff.
Maybe it was great skies, rainy
day. Oh, but
then
I had you and Nat over my house and we did crabs in the backyard that one day. That was good.
Oh, yeah. And those were big.
Those were big. So we'll have to do that again. They say they're supposed to be good this season. So look out, Mom. We're getting crabs.
Everyone gets crabs.
Huh?
The season? Crab season?
It's kind of already started. I like to wait until summer definitely hits. I kind of feel bad about...
What,
like overeating crabs because we've like done a number on the crab population. We need to let them come back.
I thought the population this year was pretty good.
That's what I'm saying. I heard they're supposed to be good this year. But it doesn't feel like crab eating weather to me until I'm a little bit sweaty and hot. And so it's been a really weird spring. It's been a pretty chilly spring.
Especially, yesterday?
Yeah.
It was cold.
Like, I'm wearing my jacket again. I don't know what the fuck is going on, but I'm ready for summer, so.
You know what's going on. What do you mean? A little bit warm. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know
what do you
what
call this?
Happening.
What do you call this up and down of temperature?
Anyway. All right, so happy Mother's Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So on this Mother's Day,
yeah.
We watched a movie called We Are the Flesh. And this, we told you last episode that we were going to watch it, coming off of a week where we did two horror shorts about gruesome flesh-like theme, or whatever you want to call it. Two movies where people are definitely cutting their flesh off. Now we have a movie called We Are the Flesh. We figured this would be a good segue into the next movie, right? What were we going to say?
Oh, I was going to say that this movie, We Are the Flesh.
Yep.
It's one of the weirdest movies I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. So we can thank Emiliano Roca Minter for that.
That wasn't a compliment.
Well, I don't think I was saying thank you in like a thank you.
Oh, for your, sarcastically. Okay. Gotcha.
It might've been sarcastic.
Yeah.
It definitely was one of the weirdest movies. It was definitely one of the, you know, because there was a time when I was like, is this like a Cronenberg film? And you were like, not even. And I'm like, well, like a little Videodrome-ish, maybe.
I think when our expectations are sort of leveled going in, knowing, we can appreciate it more. I thought going in that this was going to be some sort of narrative, your traditional narrative film, but that was not the case.
Yeah, that's the thing. So like, you don't really know what you're watching at all until probably the very end. And I will say, like, at the very end, I think we knew what we were watching.
Then.
Really? I think, you're right. Cause something really weird happens in the middle that's not possible in real life. So I don't, we're going to have to get through, we're going to have to like work it out as we talk about it, which is typically what we do. But because we never really let ourselves, by the way, for those of you just tuning in, or those of you who maybe just, we've never said this out loud, we don't really like to talk about our feelings and our thoughts and our, what do you want to say? Like
analysis
about the movies too much before we jump on the mic. Cause we kind of want it to be
right. Fresh
streaming right from our mouths, which probably is a little clunky at times, but, we don't want to overthink it before we get here. So anyway, I will say, like if you look at Wikipedia and you look under like reception, it apparently got 77% on Rotten Tomatoes, but that's only based on 22 reviews. And somebody called it an extreme Mexican fiesta of incest, cannibalism, and explicit sex that should earn detractors and fans an equal measure. So I think that's a really interesting way of saying it's going to get people who don't like it, and it's going to get people who like it on some kind of equal basis. I could say
it definitely push visual boundaries.
Yes.
In filmmaking.
Yeah. You know what's really funny? I'm reading further. Remember what I said? I go, it was in the middle of a really awkward scene, and I said, you know what? The camera work is really amazing, and like it's really picking up on the emotions of these things, and da 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 da. And you go, that's because the storyline is, or what did you say?
There is no story. Yeah.
So right here.
So you start focusing on other things.
So it says Fangoria and Bloody Disgusting both gave the movie favorable reviews, with the latter praising the movie's camera work, use of color, which I also said, sound and acting, while also commenting that some viewers will certainly be offended and others frustrated. I think I'd say that's probably how we felt.
I wasn't offended. Nothing offended.
Was I offended at all? You know, I'm so not prude at all. You know me, I'm just not.
Maybe a little aroused, but not.
Oh my God. I'd say there was needless moments for sure. Offensive, I'm not easily offended. Absolutely needless moments.
We're being vague. Let's dive into it.
Do you want to
Let's get
dive
in,
into it?
Let's get straight into it.
Let's so we can get start right to
talking
it.
About it.
Yeah. So let's do just that. Well, it gets into just like, as soon as you jump in, you're like, what am I watching? What am I watching? We couldn't figure out. It was a little dark in the very beginning too. So it was a little confusing as to what we were actually seeing.
So what it seems like visually, if I have to paint a picture, abandoned building, right? Mm-hmm.
Chaotic abandoned building.
Imagine what, if you're watching a movie that was post-apocalyptic and a man just a bum-looking, dirty man was carrying things to, making things to survive because there isn't a lot of food or things to eat. So he starts to make something, and you're trying to put together what he's making. He's like throwing like ton of bread into a bucket, and then he pours like water on top of it, and he starts to like break the bread into pieces and turn them into like mush inside the bucket with water. And then
he covers it up,
seals it, right?
Yeah, it has a tube that comes from the big tank.
And seals it, and he heats it. He boils it.
Well, and then he just starts like bashing with an axe like a table, and he gets all this wood, and then it cuts really fast to like a fire. And the fire's in this little, like, he's heating that big thing, basically.
Yeah, he's boiling it.
And then what happens is he's distilling the yeast from the bread and everything to make alcohol.
Yeah.
And so as we can cheers to my husband's porter that he's made here in a similar fashion, homebrew. This man's a homebrewer. I don't think it's a porter, though. I think it's probably some nasty ass freaking...
You're supposed to take a sip.
Oh, whoops. Sorry. Hold on. Yum. He actually did a good job.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
So he makes his own alcohol because, you know, a man's got to survive.
Yeah, he doesn't drink it, though, right?
He took a sip. First he like lit it on fire to show that it was alcoholic. And then he said, I think that was a bad translation. He said gas, but it's definitely alcohol because he's drinking it throughout. And then the kids do, too, that we meet later. It's alcohol. Okay. And when I read the description, it's that he's making his own alcohol. He took the bread. The bread is the yeast, and that's how you make beer.
Even in post-apocalyptic world where food is scarce.
Don't worry. You can still get your booze.
This man is so focused on the finer things in life.
Right.
The vices.
Yeah. And he then is like, and by the way, he is just like hasty with everything he's doing. Even though he's like an old man, he's like, beard long, nasty looking. He's like moving.
And then you get a sense that he's not all there in his head. Yeah. It's like a kind of crazy. Yeah, a little crazy. Right?
So he goes over to this wall and he, for lack of better words, he's pulling like a conveyor. Like he's pulling a little teeny tiny like cart on little teeny rolly wheels under a hole or out from a hole that's in the wall. And out comes like a carton of eggs.
Pulley system.
It's a pulley system. Yeah. And he out comes like a carton of eggs and he's like, yes. And he takes the carton of eggs off and then he puts a bottle of his alcohol that he's just made on it and then wheels it back. So you get some idea that there's another person on the other side of this wall and they're trading. Okay. After that, he's like laying on some weird like cubbyhole in the floor in this weird abandoned disgusting looking place, and he pulls out like an eyedropper with a little teeny
so we had never find out what that was.
I have no fucking clue. But it's an eyedropper and he drips a couple drops in his mouth. And you get a sense that he's taking, because
we thought it was like morphine or something,
or some kind of liquid drug.
If he makes alcohol to help him the time go by,
maybe.
Yeah,
but so
it could be morphine.
It could be that, or it could just be some like liquid drug that I don't even know about. But anyway, he drops a couple drops in his mouth, and then you see him in another room, and this is when he's drinking. He is drinking from his like little bottle,
and he has
a drum in front of him. And this is when I was like, dude, this man is a fucking genius. He has a pillow strapped to his back so that it's like up where his head would lay down if he just like falls flat. I was like, yes, this man is smart. So he's being protective because when he passes out, he's going to have his head protected, okay? That was a pretty like interesting little ad in the movie to me. So anyway, he's like, he has a drum. He's getting drunk. He's taking some fucking eyedroppers of something. He starts hitting this drum like one by one and he's groaning really weird. And then he just starts pounding on it and going like bananas. And then... Doesn't he just pass out? He passes out.
Yeah.
So then the next day it's daytime and these two kids seem to be
next
like
day?
Yeah. Next, he's asleep. So he passes out.
I know he passes out, but I don't think it doesn't say.
Well, I think it's the next day. Yeah,
but they find him.
So there's these two kids that come in. It's a girl and a guy, and they break in. They like come up out of the floor in this other room. And they come in and they see this guy. And the young guy says to the girl, like, let's go. We need to go. Vamanos. Yeah. Because it's in Spanish. But instead, she's like, nope, we're going to stick around here. And she makes him help her drag this guy's body into another room. At this point, they start drinking this man's alcohol, jumping up and down on the bed. It's like they have found the party house, right? And she says to him, though, something like, this guy must be hibernating or in a coma. Like, why won't he wake up? Because they've put him on the bed that they're jumping on, which is also really weird. And so, now they fall asleep.
But she lays right next to him.
Yeah, creepy. Yeah. So then we all wake up, and this guy is now looking down at them.
Now it's reversed. Yeah. And then, like, he's looking down at them, and he's wearing this weird, robe. Like, Playboy, like, Hugh Hefner robe.
So creepy. So he basically makes them get up and have breakfast. And when I say breakfast, I mean he's just stirring eggs in raw these two eggs. Little bowls, and he yeah. hands them the bowls to eat these raw eggs. And the girl says, I'm going to be honest with you. And the old man kind of looks closer to her, and he's like, I love honesty.
He's not that old, by the way. I know we're saying old man.
Well, in context, like you've got a young...
Probably in their like late, early 20s.
Early 20s. 22 and max.
He's probably like in his 40s.
Well, he says later 47. Okay. 49. But he looks...
Oh, I missed that part.
At this point in time, he looks like 50, all the 60s dirt. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. He's so haggard and worn down.
The beard, yeah.
Yeah. So she's like, well, you know, we've been wandering the city for weeks. And, you know, can we stay? Because... Look, I'm sure we can work something out. And she goes ahead and says that. And he kind of looks at her. And there's a gentleman's agreement here between the yeah. girl and the older man that they're going to stay, but as long as they pretty much do anything he wants them to do.
So for me, I told Tracy already, I'm like, there's sort of sexual tension like between everyone, between the groups. There's two guys, one girl, and possibly that she's the last girl on the planet. We have no idea, but it's... Something like that, right?
Yeah. Well, for her yeah. to say, I'm sure we can work something out the way she said it mm-hmm. is why you felt that yeah. way. And I was like, oh, God.
And the look she gave him, too.
Yeah. 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 So right after that, they go into another room in this decayed, dilapidated place, and he locks them in. And the young guy says, why would he lock us in? And he's panicking. And she's like, because he's afraid of us. Like, don't stress it. Like, whatever. Then the guy comes in the next morning. He's like, good morning, son. And he's like banging on the drums and he's like waking them up. Yeah. And he's like, come on, losers. Like, you got to work, right? He says, take off all your clothes and put these on. Yeah. And it's these like
onesies, white onesies. Like, that's totally laboratory. See-through.
Yeah.
Oh, totally see-through.
I saw his I
know.
Pubes.
Yeah, like, I know.
So I knew.
They're kind of see-through, but yeah. like.
Enough see-through to know that they have no clothes on underneath.
It's like cloudy, white, cloudy.
Right. Yeah. And I definitely was like, I didn't even say it, but I was like, I can totally see this guy's pubes. Like, I know where this is going because they're naked right now. So
I noticed the girls, but... just saying. Well, if you're going to go there, Miles, I'm just...
So you did too. Okay, good. I'm glad we're both observant.
the opposite.
I know. All right. So when they go to work, it is completely batshit. You have no idea what the fuck they're doing. But there's this... spider web, if you will, like a masterful spider web of wooden joints and chairs and shovels and as big as you can imagine in this warehouse of a place. They are not duct taping, it's the packaging tape, the yeah, like packing brown tape. Packing tape.
And they're like wrapping the joints
over, over and over and yeah. over and over. And they're like climbing up on this.
At first, I thought thing. It was a fence. I got like a defensive.
Oh, really?
Or fence that they were building.
I had no idea what this was.
But
nor would we ever know.
Yeah,
right?
It turns out it's a frame.
And so basically, as soon as they walk out, the older guy like takes his eyedropper out and starts putting drops in his mouth so that these two can see him doing this. And he calls the young boy by now this name Skeletor, which sticks. And I guess it's because the guy's pretty scrawny.
Yeah,
and he goes, hey, by the way, if I ever catch you in here, I'm going to kill you. And it was very menacing, very sinister. It was very haunting. And he was like, don't you fucking come in my room, basically. And I think that's because he knows now, see me with my eyedropper, like you know that that's in my bedroom. So yeah. don't come in here. So.
And when you say don't do this, you know.
You're going to do it. Yeah,
it generally creates a huge curiosity.
Right, like you're going to poke the bear, okay. Yeah. So now they're at dinner and he's feeding them eggs again, but he's not eating. The old man's not eating and he's taking eye drops again instead in his mouth. And the kid goes to him, Skeletor says to him, why aren't you eating? And he was like, I don't like eggs, which is funny because he keeps taking them through this wall conveyor belt thing, right?
It's just like the thing that they come in, is what he says.
He says, I like the egg carton.
Yeah. The things that they come in.
Yeah, like the things that they come in. So clearly this guy is a little unhinged, right? Like he just... in this,
why? Because he likes egg cartons?
He's not even going to eat. He's not eating in this world of his.
Maybe like, that thing that suppresses his hunger.
Maybe. Who knows? So now we're back at work. And they're... and they are, by the way, the egg cartons, we should say, are also a part of this interwoven weird thing
that
they're building.
That, yeah, eventually. It's like, what?
Well, they're using them in the like joints and stuff too.
In the second scene, like the first time they were doing it wasn't there.
So the now we're like in this kind of, I don't know what you want to call it.
What?
this hallway where these things are being constructed, and it's just the older guy and the female, and he says to her, why are you with Skeletor? And she's like, just because. And he's,
why do you think she doesn't come clean then?
I don't really know.
It's weird.
And yeah, by come clean, we'll just tell you, like, they are brother and sister, yeah, right? But we don't know that at this moment
until
in time.
Later on.
And so she says, minutes, like, yeah, I'm just with him because. And then she says to him, like, have you always been alone? And herein launches like a 10-minute, it feels like a 10-minute spiel about solitude. And it is weird.
And it creates a metaphor for solitude. How it's like she's a female and he has an affair.
He's been with her forever.
Yeah, for a long time. And he goes on to this thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he makes love to her and like, or whatever. He's like, when you're alone, he's like, the things that you would typically think that you think are messed up to think, when you're in solitude, you're only there with your thoughts. And basically what he gets to is like, have you ever had a moment where you've thought about fucking your mom? And he's like, and then you catch yourself and you're
well,
like,
that's one of the examples.
It's one of the things that he kind of ends on. Yeah, right. Yeah. And he's like, but when you're in solitude, you're allowed to think those thoughts and you have to kind of sit with them and think about why or whatever.
And when nothing happens, like after those thoughts are, you know, when nothing happens, you realize that you gain control or something,
I
like
guess.
That he said. Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes, or you're free. You're free to be, you know, whoever you want to be or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got a guy who's been alone for a really long time.
That's an interesting thing there. There's a
philosophy
there.
I was like,
there.
Yeah. I think because you and I were like, okay, this scene, and he's wild and he's saying all kinds of crazy ass shit. But like, I did like kind of what he said during that time a little bit. And he starts like, what's he doing? He's like doing this really weird thing with his arms, making it look like he's flapping his wings. And he's like,
dance,
you're free,
like,
you're free. Yeah. So the next scene is just it's an interesting scene just to kind of say the boy's sitting on the floor, the girl's kind of like on the other side of the room, and they essentially just start calling each other names. Like, he calls her a whore. And I don't know if it's because he's picking up like how she's talking to the older guy, and she's calling him a turd, and they kind of go back and forth. And then you're like, okay, this is kind of again, before we know that they're brother and sister, they are acting a lot like brother and sister.
Yeah.
And then the next day they've what you can now see was a skeleton for something a bit larger. So now they're taking cardboard and they're kind of laying it on top of this, framework or bonework or shell or whatever you want to call it to create, I don't know, this covered effect with all these cardboard boxes. And while they're doing this, this is like the first really like weird moment where the old guy takes his fingers and like sticks out his tongue very sexually and sticks his finger like on his tongue. And then the girl with no pause does the same thing back to him.
Yeah. It's like their own little,
like they have a connection.
Yeah. Like they're like communicating
secret,
with
secret.
Each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so then we've got the older guy and the younger guy in the hallway together by themselves. And this is when he starts getting like, you can tell he's got a dirty little soul, this older guy. Right. So he says like, she doesn't let you mount her, does she? And,
This is when we find out they're brother and sisters, right? Because he's teasing him.
Yeah.
He goes, how are you with her and not having fucked her yet?
Exactly. Basically. And then he's like, you know, you could at least jerk off to her.
Yeah. And he gets very graphic. He's like, I know that, you know, you think of her, you get an erection, and you know, you want her, you know.
He's like, why don't you just take the bull by the horns, you weak and feeble little guy? And then he's like, she's my sister. Yeah.
And then his face expression changes of the old man. He's like, yes. And I was like, oh no. For me, when I was like, oh no.
Like, where is this going?
Going, yeah.
So the boy goes to the girl and goes, we've got to leave. Like, we've got to leave. And he's kind of outside this little makeshift tent that she's built in their bedroom. And she's like, well, come here and tell me about it. Like, come inside. Tell me about it.
Come inside.
So he kind of crawls in there and he's like, look, I just don't trust this guy. Like, we've got to go. And what does she do?
She compliments him with his eyelashes.
You have really nice eyelashes. And like, are those fake?
Yeah. And then she gets close and she leans and kisses him. She lunges at him and kisses him.
And not just a sisterly, brotherly kiss.
No.
Maybe like an Angelina Jolie brother, whatever her brother's name, kiss. Remember when that shit happened?
That was like 20 years ago.
That was so weird though. I'm sorry.
And then he's like, what are you doing? Get off me. And he like runs out.
Yeah. So like we're in a weird place now, right? So basically the old guy goes over to the conveyor belt, pulls something else out again. And now it's like two steaks. It's like two fat rare steaks. So he starts cooking. The kids sit down for dinner, and
it didn't look appetizing. It didn't even look like it was all cooked all the way either.
Yeah, right. Well, I like my meat medium rare, so.
Yeah, but it didn't look appetizing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So she's getting down on this meat. She's like taking the meat in her hands, and she's like tearing at it with her teeth.
Yeah.
And the guy's just staring at his.
He's like, I don't eat meat.
And he's like, I don't eat meat. And she's like, he's true. He never even ate meat when we were kids with our parents, yeah. Right? So now we know that they definitely had parents at some point. And she starts really quickly writhing around and seizing. Like, it does not happen, like, but a second after she says what she says about him being a vegan or whatever. And immediately.
Falling at the mouth.
Yeah. And she falls down on the ground. And the guy goes, do you know how the Nazis poisoned the Jews?
Well, he said that before she seized.
It was literally like the moment she started choking. She was choking and he goes.
He was saying it. And then she started choking, like, to give
I think
a
she
sense.
Started, like, catching her. She was, like, putting her hand up on her chest. And he's like, so do you know how the Nazis poisoned the Jews? And something about, and I don't know this, so if I butcher this, I'm sorry. But something about, like, using almonds to disguise the taste of gas that they used to poison the food that they would give to the Jews. So pretty awful.
That was true or not. It was just
I'm sure it's true.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's true. But in any case, he says that this was a really good trick for them because it was a cheap way to kill them. Okay. And he makes that comment. Then the girl's getting worse and worse. They are moving. So they being the man and the young boy, it's like, they're just sitting there kind of, I felt frozen in time for them because this girl's like clearly dying. And he's slowly just saying like, now don't be rude. When I feed you, you eat. And you're going to eat this entire steak. Then you're going to go and you're going to get the eyedropper that you stole from me. How dare you come into my place? I feed you. I give you a house to live in. And you're going to steal from me. And he's like, you're going to eat that steak. Then you're going to go get the eyedropper. And then I'll save her because I can. But only if you do these things. And I was like, oh, dear God, do this. So the kid eats the whole fucking steak.
Eats it. He gets the eyedropper. Gives it back. And he puts the girl over the table as she's foaming at the mouth. He drops it in one drop in her mouth, and instantly she comes
Boom.
To.
Perfect.
She doesn't come. She doesn't wake up or
she
anything.
Doesn't wake up, but she stops seizing. Yeah, seizing. So, at this moment in time, we cut to a scene of the old man, like, kind of by himself, and I wrote down in all caps, "Crazy time." Like, he starts losing his fucking mind at this moment in time. He is like. He keeps spouting off stuff about alcohol or whatever and, like, the cities. Like, he says, like, the same line over and over. And, I mean, he is screaming. And this is when the camera uses the first time the effect where the camera starts spinning over right. and over and over.
That you
so
love
you're, like,
so much.
You're going down a spiral with this guy, right? So he starts talking about the cabin blues, which I was like, this must mean cabin fever because this is in subtitles.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure he's saying something about cabin fever, which I can only imagine. And so then we're all together again and we're in this cave and all of a sudden the cave looks way more finished than, and I call this a cave because it truly looks like a cavern now.
Yeah.
They have taken the cardboards, floor, walls, ceiling, everything so that it looks like you're in, no joke, like the Slot Canyons if you've ever been to them in Arizona. So,
yeah, it just looks like a makeshift.
Underground cave. Yeah.
Like a set on a cheap TV show.
Right, sure. Yeah. And then the lighting, this is when I was saying, like, the lighting was pretty cool because, like, blue. What was lit from behind was just a very bright, say, like, orange or, like, a violet color or whatever. So he starts talking, and the girl is kind of back to it, but she's a little like, I don't know what you want to call it. Like, she hasn't shaken off the entire poisoning, but she's sitting up. And the boy is kind of standing to the side. And this is when the guy goes.
Weird.
This is when it gets really weird. The guy goes, I left this place 47 years ago. I was surrounded by, and he goes on. I'm just going to give you the top lines. But he's like, I was surrounded by, you know, your warm liquid. And I was comforted. I was comforted by you. I was in a safe place. And then you spread your legs. And at this moment, he's walking up to the girl. And he's kind of like down on the ground. And the camera's kind of going up to like where her knees meet when she's sitting down, kind of so that you're pointing towards her crotch. And he goes, and then you pushed me out into this world. And you didn't even know why you did what you did. So we know he's not talking to the girl. We know he's talking to his mother. So happy Mother's Day. This is getting weird.
Yeah.
So he's talking about the day he was born. And now I'm like, oh, the color, I think the color of the lighting effects and stuff now were like red. And he's like, let's be fetuses again. And he says something like, we'll be reborn together and we'll die together. We'll never leave this like womb or whatever. So he has been asking them to build what they didn't know was in his mind, what felt like a womb. And he wants to go back to his rightful place, I guess, inside of his mother.
Yeah.
Which is super bizarre. And
he tells him to get up, right?
So yeah.
He tells him to get up.
He tells the boy to get up.
And then he tells him to strip.
I need you to like, I need you to do this for me. I need you to defile her. I need you to penetrate her. And the boy's like, no. And he's like, listen to me and forgive me for the language. But he goes, do you think your cock cares that she's your sister? And he's like, you know, if you're not going to do it, I'll show you how. And then they kind of get in a little bit of a scuffle, right? Because the brother's like, no, you're not, you know, like, don't you dare. And he's like, well, then come on, Skeletor, undress. And it's like, oh, God, it's just very uncomfortable. But what's weird is like where it goes.
So he, I think she comes over and like does the first zipper.
Of him.
Yeah.
So and he takes his little white smock off.
And this is a wide shot, by the way.
Yeah.
This isn't like, doesn't cut to a close. It's just, it's a camera on a wide angle. And we see Luciano.
Marciano?
No, it's...
We should have looked this up. L. Oh, yeah. Mariano is the main guy's name. The older guy. Mariano. See,
yeah, he's in the middle, and the boy Skeletor, I think it's Luciano or something.
Oh,
he's on the
name.
Right. Yeah, he's on the right side, and then the sister's on the left side. Mm-hmm. And she walks over, undresses him, so full frontal. You can see from the side that he's completely nude.
It's the real actor, which seems to be real actor, penis and his, everything.
Yeah, penis. It's not erect. It's just standing there. And then...
He goes, your cock is ugly.
Yeah, I guess your cock is ugly.
And I was like,
laugh. And then the part that I laugh is he comes over and then he like smacks his penis from the bottom. He just like taps it out like
tap,
a couple
tap,
of times. Tap, tap, tap. And then he goes, I'm like, holy crap, this
That's
is
so
awkward.
Weird.
Yeah. And then.
Because I think this is really his real genitals. So like, I don't think this is
it
a prosthetic.
Is, though, yeah. And then they take the girl's overalls off and she's completely naked.
And he says, now do to her what you need to do. And if not, then I will.
And then he tells her.
Well, he's like, look at you. You can't even get it up right now. Look at how beautiful she is. Like, what's wrong with you?
Well, because he's like, you're like nervous and
right.
you're having performance anxiety,
sure,
whatever.
Sure.
So he tells her.
Suck him off.
Yeah, to get on your knees and, you know, like go down on him.
Until he gets hard.
And then, okay, at this point, the camera hasn't moved. Like, so
at
she,
all.
Yeah, she, it's began to slowly like track in.
I want to know how many like, people are hitting stop right now to go watch this movie. or they're hitting stop because
it's like,
repulsive.
Wait, is this a horror movie?
What did you guys watch?
Are they talking about pornographic?
Wait, is this horror
We haven't even
porn.
Gotten to like.
Guys,
so,
it gets
like,
worse.
She gets down and the actress, okay, I'm like
the real actress
puts his member in her mouth.
Yep.
And they show
and
it.
Looking
they show
up
it.
To the camera
it
as
does,
if we're
it
connecting
does,
eyes.
It does slowly like zoom in. As she puts it in her mouth, it does like kind of go up, right? Because
yeah.
they don't actually show her. We thought, right, like doing the act. It does it pans up.
Right.
And then he's talking to him. And then the camera switches perspective and is if you were the boy you look down on her and she's looking up and
yeah.
she is actually giving a blowjob too. We don't know we have to whether it's
if
an
it's
actual
prosthetic or not,
prosthetics
at this point
or, yeah
it looks like
it doesn't
this
matter
is happening
it doesn't matter
actors,
it
for sure.
Huge widescreen. I have a pretty big TV we're sitting there
all
going
right.
We are watching porn. If someone drove by
yeah.
and
he was
looked
like,
in
I
the window.
These people down on the street don't yeah. see me. So anyway, but the weird thing about the scene is that she is staring back up. And so sometimes we're looking down at her as if it's like our POV. It's the boy's POV.
POV's changing.
But
POV's changing.
As it
yeah.
flips back from what she's seeing, it's flipping. She sometimes is like mentally envisioning the older guy. And
or,
then sometimes.
Or we think because he does switch, right?
Well, yeah. That's what's happening, I think. Yeah. So then. She stops and she lays down really slowly on her back and the boy crawls down on her very slowly and it's very quiet. It's very awkward. You no longer see the older man in front of them or anything. It's just the two of them. And I write down, they make love because there is no, like I'm saying that because that's how they've characterized the scene. they're kissing, and then there's this like really weird effect where it's like infrared. What do you call it? Infrared. Yeah. And there's this music playing. Okay. And it's like a beautiful, you know, if you will, moment between these two that are literally kissing and very slowly, and it's sensual. And then
and it
the
comes
music
out,
stops.
It's like what, 2 minutes of that?
It's
like
infrared, a long time.
Infrared kissing.
You
infrared.
See all the body parts moving.
Yeah, sex. So it's like their body colors like yellow, red.
Yeah, blue.
You know,
green.
So yeah, on the edges where it's cold. And then it's like smash cuts to the outside where we see the old man just.
Well, wait a minute. So the music stops, but what's happening is he's been singing the song. So like he picks up where we mm-hmm. heard the old music leave off, and it's just him. No music, just him singing. And.
And smash cuts. And then he's like jerking off.
Yes.
He's he had.
Right on,
we think
like on top of them.
Yeah. And just, but we think it's.
That his,
right?
His looks like a prosthetic.
Prosthetics. Because he's
also,
jerking off and all of a sudden
he
ejaculates. Ejaculates.
I just wanted
and,
to say fascist.
Yeah, ejaculates.
It's gross.
No, no. Ejaculates.
On top of them.
On top of them.
Yeah.
Falls backwards. And what happens?
Dies. Literally dies. I don't know. Maybe that's the best way
that's
to really go
good,
out.
Baby. There
know.
You go.
Yeah. Yeah, right? So he's dead. And like without thought, they're just like, oh, he's dead. And then they go, oh, he's dead. They drag him into a room. So it was like the same exact scene yeah. from the beginning when they drag him out of one room to another.
They
pull
take one,
of the, one
of the
nicer mattresses into
the,
like,
other,
the
room.
Other room. And they're just like, they're loving life. They're rolling around on each other. They're
well,
being silly.
No, she's rolling around on the bed and bothering him because
oh, really?
He's trying to get some sleep. And he goes, get off me.
Oh.
God, can you leave me alone?
Oh, yeah. So they're playing around. They go over to the hole in the wall and they start yelling for food. They're like, help. Is anyone here? It's like, we need food.
Yeah.
They check the guys. Then the girl goes over and she's checking the dead guy's pockets, right? She pulls out a bunch of rocks because who doesn't have rocks in their pockets? And then she pulls out a picture of a old black and white photo of this little Mexican girl. She's like, I don't even know if it's possible, but she's pregnant. Like there is... Yeah.
She's like,
I don't know how young you can be before you actually get pregnant. I really don't know.
Oh,
this.
I'm sure there's scientific.
I know
I'm
there
sure
is.
Yeah,
I just don't know the age. But she, to me, doesn't look more than 8 years old.
When do you, like, yeah. Yeah. Nine?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe 8 or 9. Yeah. Like, I think it's probably possible at that point. Yeah. But it's fucking, it's weird. She's got a huge pregnant belly. So, of course, what I think is true is that this was his mother.
There's a thing that you... Help. I think we're talking about this, and this is kind of a tangent. And I was sort of reading that book a while back. Oh my god, what's the name of the book?
I don't know.
Moral Animal.
Mm.
And there's a chapter about like why does biology or why does natural selection give young females able to. Give birth at such a young age,
mm-hmm.
right? And then it just goes into details that, you know, why, blah, 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 blah. I'm not
mm-hmm. going
to go into details. I was like, ugh. It's like, ugh.
It's
like,
creepy to think
yeah,
about.
It's like if, yeah.
You didn't really go too deep there,
but. Oh, I don't want to, because I didn't want to go into it. I don't want to. It's like,
what's the name of the book in case anybody's interested in that little tiny bit that you just said? What's it called?
Moral Animal.
Moral Animal.
Why We Are the Way We Are.
Why We Are the Way We Are.
It's dense. Like I had a hard time like finishing it
because it was like
it's just like scientific.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, anyway, so things are a little weird now to know that he must have come from. Oh yeah, why we are there? It is right there. Wait, what's the subtitle though? The science, what? The new science of evolutionary psychology. Okay, cool. So what's happening is we've now gotten this picture that this guy's nuts. He was born from a child. He was. Talking about when he's in solitude, he literally was talking about like, have you ever thought about fucking your mother, right?
Yeah.
And then he's like talking out loud as if he's speaking to his mother, to the two of them earlier in the movie about how he just wants to go back to the womb and be a fetus again and never, never leave and to die there. Okay. So that is certainly a setup for the second half of the movie. So we are at the halfway point, and the girl is in this weird
black
liquid. I don't want to know what it was, but she's kind of swimming in it.
Yeah, and she crawls out of it. And
literally crawls.
Yeah, crawls out of it and
all
crawls towards
her
brother naked with, you know, all this goo on her.
And the camera's literally like, this is when I was like, I cannot believe this actress. She's crawling and the camera's right behind her ass. And at least the scene is kind of dark.
Oh, she's naked, by the way.
She's totally naked. Yeah, totally, yeah, naked. Totally naked. So like the camera's up in her hoo-ha and I'm just like, what? So anyway, yeah. So she walks right up to him or crawls right over, climbs on top of him really seductively and is trying really hard to get him to have sex with her while he's sitting on this chair. And he pushes her off and he walks away. Yeah. But the weird thing is he walks out into the hallway where he starts masturbating.
Yep.
Like
and thinking vigorously. thinking about her and him like making out because it flashes
to the two of them.
Two of them. Right. And he's flashing and it's, you know, he's thinking of that moment because she still has all that goo over her and she's like rubbing it all of him. They're making out and
Well, and then I think like the scene is starting to like there's a bunch of scenes that are kind of stitched together and they definitely are having sex again. So it's like he gets over it. They have sex. They kind of wake up next to each other. And then at some point he has taken too much of those droplets. So she crawls on top of him again, like while he's laying there passed out and she's like seductively crawling on top of him again. And she's like, how much did you take? And he's like, too much, I think. And so she stands up, she takes her underwear off. And she drops it next to his head. And I'm like, I know where this is going.
This is a lovely scene. Bless you.
I can cut that out. Okay. So she stands up. And all you see is his body and just like her feet up to her calf. And she takes her underwear off.
Yeah. And the ankles.
She drops them right down to the left of his head. And I was like, oh, God, the underwear's got blood on them. And I was like, I know where this is going, I think.
Close your eyes, she says.
She says, close your eyes, open your mouth. And all of a sudden,
she just lets it drop.
I'm just not going to be nasty about how gross the scene is for people who probably would be really grossed out. But she's letting her menstruation drop into his mouth.
Mouth, yeah.
Okay.
Drip, drip, so, drop. Drip, drop.
And, yep, drip, drop. It's pretty funny.
What's that song go? From Empire? Drip, drip, drop. I don't know. Jason knows.
I have a really funny story to say about that, but I'll tell you later. Okay. So after that, she says a really weird sentence. She says, like, there's no such thing as love. She's saying this as she's standing over top of him, and he's just letting this happen in his mouth. There's no such thing as love, only demonstrations of love. So if that's how you show people love, I don't know what love is, but I don't want to partake in it either.
Did it gross you out that much?
That's odd.
I mean, it was gross.
It's not grossing me out. It's just unnecessary. This is one of those scenes I'm like, unnecessary.
I'm going to watch it again after you leave.
You go right ahead. We're all like finding a little bit more out about you than we'd like to know.
I am joking, listeners. Okay. I'm kidding.
So, okay, this next sequence is very dreamlike. We just see them naked the whole time from here on out pretty much. And she's like taking her fingers and doing like a fake like gun shooting at him.
Yeah.
And then it's like the scene turns like to being right in front of her. Like she's shooting at
us. Shooting
but when the camera flips back, you know who she's shooting at? That little pregnant girl. Yep. It's as if she's there, which is really weird. And so this is when the camera starts spinning again.
Nothing really. Don't try to make sense of it all.
I'll tell you I've literally wrote down. The camera
Not
starts
you.
Spinning.
That's why
you oh, okay.
About, yeah.
So the camera, they're doing the spinning camera effect on her and the guy now. Mm-hmm. And so in my opinion is that we're seeing that the solitude is now turning them into crazy. Like, I think they're hitting crazy town like our boy Mariano did, right?
Yeah.
So now. Guess what we see? Hey, folks, if you didn't think this was pornographic enough, you know what we get to see now? Just a straight up vagina shot. Straight up real vagina right up in it and with a red filter on it.
We're talking about not like from the front. We're talking about from the bottom.
Like we're looking straight into the entry point.
And it's just like just sitting there and it's good a minute. It's almost like a still shot.
No, it is like
but a still shot. But it's not a still shot. But it's like you can tell.
Well, it's just nothing really moves down
there
on us.
Yeah, nothing. Well, remember the guys?
Like, I know, that's my point. Yeah. Because then it flips to...
To the guys.
A dick and balls.
Yeah.
Literally same angle. Yeah. And it's all with a blue filter this time.
Yeah.
We did hear that this movie came out in 3D. So I'm guessing this is why a lot of the red and blue stuff is...
Who said that?
Didn't you? I thought you said this was
the
3D.
Other, the other movie.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. Take it back. Okay. So we've got a whole like blue filter now of this penis and ball shot.
And it's almost looks like a time lapse a shot.
Yeah. Because the balls are like weirdly
They're like
moving.
Going, like they're contracting.
Yeah.
Like slowly. I was like, the balls are moving, right?
I think they are moving. So then I'm really staring at them and seeing every detail. I'm like, I'm
the
really
hair
staring at the
and everything. It's like,
so bizarre.
And it's so big.
It's so big. What? Like, why do you have a television that big?
It's all 65 inches of it.
So after this, we just see the girl. She's wearing a weird helmet, like an old, like really old military helmet. She's just wearing her panties and like a shirt. And she walks into the bedroom where the dead guy's body is laying on this mattress. And he's clearly decaying and his eyeballs have turned white.
Cloudy.
He's got,
yeah,
he's got like veins all coming. You know, he's hemorrhaged or whatever it's called.
He must be stuck. He must be stinky by now.
Absolutely. Yeah. And she lays down on top of him and
I'm just going to cut to the chase.
She starts masturbating like with her hand while she's sitting on top of writhing around on top of him. And she starts saying out loud as she's like about to climax, "Neither the sun nor death can be looked at steadily." And she says this
over and over again.
And to the point where even the scene cuts and she's in another room and she's still saying it while she's squatting and peeing in the middle of a hallway.
Oh, yeah. Now she's peeing. That's right.
So there's she is flipping batshit, I think. Right. And so then we see a flip of that little girl again.
Little girl. Who
clearly doesn't exist, but we're seeing her. She's basically leaning over the dead guy's body, like what we think is praying or something. She's got her head like on top of her hands. Yeah. On top of him.
And she's like blowing into her hands.
Well, you thought that. You were like, is she blowing life back into him?
Yeah.
I'm not even trying to figure this out.
Now that we know
out.
That maybe, possibly.
Maybe. Because, right, true. Perhaps. Yeah. Right. So essentially, this is super weird, but there's like wind that starts blowing around. And the girl's not in the room anymore, by the way. The real girl that's alive, that's very sexually oriented now, she's not in the room. But we start to see like wind blowing around and all these like papers are flying and it's like there's a storm that's happening inside this place. And when we flip back to the mattress that this guy was laying on, his body is gone. And then we go to like the boy and the girl, the sister and the brother.
Her name is Fauna, just so you don't care. Fauna and Lucio.
Oh my God, Fauna? Did they ever say that in the whole movie?
I don't know.
Okay, well, anyway, so the sister and the brother, Fauna and Lucio, they are now, like, in the cave, and she runs into this cave-like place, and it's very dark, and the wind is blowing here, too, and basically, the shot is her yelling to the brother, but you can't hear her. They've made a conscious decision to not allow us to hear what she's yelling at him, but you would imagine she's yelling at him something of warning or whatever, because she stepped in and saw that his body was missing, and that's when she ran in to go I guess warn him or something, the brother, and they're both looking down. And I said, oh my God, is this supposed to be like a birth scene? Because they're looking down the hall and it's totally dark except for this light at the end of the tunnel. And if she's yelling at him and we can't hear it, I was like, is she going to say, don't go towards the light? Like, don't be birthed, because of what the guy was saying earlier about how she spread his legs and pushed him out into this world and he wishes that he didn't have to leave. So it's like chaos, okay? And then the scene cuts to black. And it is dark for like a good long pause, like to the point where I thought your TV just turned off. And when we come back, I go, it's happening. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective 2 is what you said.
Yeah, because you saw something emerging from the darkness and you hear it. You're like, oh.
I go, he's coming out of a sack.
Yeah.
And it was. He was literally like pushing himself out of a sack and he fell. Ace Ventura 2. Because it's the old guy, but now he's a bit younger. He's now like the real true 47-year-old him.
They cleaned him up a bit.
Yep, he had his hair perfectly trimmed, no beard.
No beard shape.
He actually looks quite muscular.
Yeah.
And he's totally naked.
I was like, he's in good shape.
And he falls on the ground covered in.
And he started like withering and dancing like he was like moving like a fish.
On the ground,
on
like
the ground.
Writhing around and he's covered
it
in his afterbirth.
It looks comical.
It does look comical. It's absolutely ridiculous. And then he stands up actually and he kind of dances like for real. And, all of a sudden, it was like that scene also goes on for far too long. The girl just like runs up into the camera because you don't know where they're at. The girl like runs up into the camera, just smacks the shit out of him. And she's like,
I thought you were dead.
She was like, I was so scared when your body was gone. Never leave again. Never promise me. And he's like, I promise. And he's like laughing.
We are family and family don't leave each other.
Families don't leave each other.
When did this happen? What?
And then she kisses him, but then he like lays down on the ground. They're all slipping around and the brother joins in and they literally are licking the like afterbirth shit on him, off of him. What in
she doesn't kiss him on the lips. She just
She's like kissed
cheek like, and everywhere. Yeah, like pecking him. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But then when he falls down on the ground, the two of them kind of like consume him, you know, and they're like he's licking his chest. Like, so grody.
It's just,
So essentially, the scene now cuts to like what feels like a whole new movie. We just start seeing a guy being carried down this hallway, totally covered in blood, and he's being carried by this reborn Mariano. And Mariano's like, you know, holding on to him tight, and he's carrying him down this hall. And it's like chaos because now we see the sister kind of dragging her brother over on the ground, and they zoom into his head, and he's got a bullet hole in his head, like right on his temple. And so they quickly... They take the eyedropper and they stick it in. This is a little like gory scene for some, probably. They stick the eyedropper literally inside of the hole in his head, which looks very real. And they're squirting some of the shit inside of his head, right? Then they go over and you're back to now.
She's crying.
The girl's
whole time.
Like crying, but it's weird because it's like we don't know what happened up until this point and we never see it. We never know it. But she clearly has some kind of a weird attachment to this guy, this new guy. She's holding on to him almost like she doesn't want to let him go ever. And she's like hugging him. She's like petting the back
soldier?
Of his neck. Yeah. So it's a soldier guy.
I think
she
was just holding him up so that he can have a conversation.
Do you think?
Guy's
But we don't know what happened.
I know, but I don't think there's any more.
I don't know.
Like relationship between the two. He just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, but. Clearly he was the one to shoot the brother in the head, and like, who knows? I think what they probably did, here's my thought, because of what happens later, and we'll get to that, but like, I'll just cut to this part. I bet you they tried to like capture him from the outside world, and they were trying to like make him a sex slave too, and he probably somehow retaliated and fought his way right. So in any case, she's holding on to him. He's bound, but she's holding on to him upright because he's like on his knees. And Mariano's got a bucket in front of him, and he's holding a huge hunting knife, and he's sitting in front of him. And this is a pretty difficult scene, but he's basically like, look, you know that I have to kill you. And he's like, but you know, I need you to know we're not going to kill you for any kind of ideology. We're not going to kill you for revenge. We're not going to basically try to do to you what you tried to do, you know, to others. We're not gonna kill you for that. We're gonna kill you for your blood and the exquisite things inside of your body.
Yeah.
So
they're gonna devour him.
They're gonna devour him. Yeah. But before they do that, this is pretty interesting. He asks the guy, he takes the tape off of his mouth and he says to the guy, and I knew exactly where this was going. And you even said it. He's gonna be so tense. That meat's gonna be too tense, right? Or like the meat's not gonna be good. And that's exactly what the scene is leading to.
Yeah.
He says to him, I need you to let everything inside of you come out. Like, this is your time. Like, scream, let it out. And the soldier kind of pauses for a second, and then he really does, and he screams his head off. And then you can hear, like, urine. So it's definitely alluding to the fact that he's peeing himself, literally
you
letting everything out.
You just hear liquid. You don't hear,
Well, obviously, that's what it is. And then after he's done screaming, you can tell he's kind of taking a pause and he's breathing a bit. And the old guy says, listen, chance is the greatest criminal to ever roam the earth. And I like that line. That's probably the best part of the movie. It's very haunting.
Like randomness.
Randomness. Right? Yeah. Like, that is the scariest fucking thing. But anyway, after that, after he's let everything out of his body, all the scaredness and his panic and his terror, Mariano starts singing a song that I don't know, but I'm assuming it's some kind of Mexican.
It's like
song of valor, right?
Some like marching song that soldiers sing. It was about like fighting for the country
and
or
God
something like
and heaven
that. Yeah,
and angels. And so
and
he
starts
belting
it out,
and then the girl starts singing, and then the soldier does too, and they all really get into it, and they start belting it. As your point, to your point, and as soon as the song is done, the soldier says, "I'm ready.
I'm ready."
And then Mariano goes, "Close your eyes; it'll be easier." And then he slices his neck open, pretty gruesomely. Yeah, looks pretty real. He leans forward over the bucket, and they let him bleed out.
Yeah, let him bleed out, and it's actually a pretty long scene for that. I thought they were going to cut. But they kept it on for, they held the camera for a little while.
All these scenes do, right?
Yeah.
So they drink the blood because the next scene you see blood all over their chins and they're staring at each other. And they dance together a little bit in a really weird, seductive way.
They do that bird dance
with the flapping wings.
And then she like kind of gets hypnotized and falls asleep on his shoulders.
And then you kind of see them trying to give blood to the brother to bring him back to life is what I equated it to.
Yeah. To feed it to him.
And then there's another scene of another stranger coming in and coming in against her will.
Yeah, it's a girl. And this time, what's her? Fall Knight is bringing her in from the back. And you missed this a little bit, right? She's
definitely trying to sexually assault her.
Oh, she.
She's like trying, rubbing her from behind.
She's like kissing her from behind, like kissing her neck and biting her earlobes. Mm-hmm. And then she like puts her hand down her shirt.
Yeah.
And pulls out her breast and starts like, you know, what do you call it? Kneading them.
Kneading them? Oh my God. She's not dough. Right. And then she says,
please let me go. Let me go. The other girl starts to, you know, like cries, that, you know, just please don't do anything to me. Let me go. Let me go.
And yeah. So this is against her will. And she's laying down on the ground and
she's dry humping at this point.
She's just so it's almost like in a 69 position though, and we're looking
before that.
Yeah,
she mounts her and she's like fully clothed, but she's like drying.
Right. But then the scene cuts and they have her naked and Fauna's
naked. It goes to somewhere else and comes back.
And then she's like facing the camera and like in a 69 position. And she's clearly like we'll just say like writhing around on top of this poor girl. She's raping her in her way. And then she gets off of her, like she moves off of her so that her brother can come forward and basically lay on top of the girl and rape her.
Yeah.
So he's now raping her while Fauna is laying next to them on her back, going
crazy.
She's masturbating very violently nuts. And screaming.
And then like Tracy and I are going, What the fuck
is happening? But then she stops and she sits up.
Pornographic.
And after she's like, I don't know if she's done or what, but she sits up and she just, like at this point, she just screams bloody murder into the camera. Mm-hmm. So when she looks up from where she's sitting on the ground, we see a new face. And it's a face of a weird looking dude. Yeah. Don't know who the fuck this guy is, but he's another new weird man. And I write, sees weird man. And then we flash to Mariano. So we see Mariano. And he is basically talking to the camera, and you realize in a moment that we're sitting basically with a group of people. We're in the POV of this group of people that he's like lecturing. So Mariano's standing in front of this group and he's saying, "Today is name day." And he's like, "I will live inside of you, all of you lowlifes, like you disgusting human beings. Like, I'm going to live inside of you forever. You're going to eat my flesh and drink my blood." And he literally unzips his like weird jacket that looks like it came from the 80s or something. Yeah. And then there's orgy scene.
What the next scene? It looks like an orgy scene because there are a couple of people who are like naked, but they are all eating him, right? That's basically
what
it was.
There's not a couple of people that are naked. This is straight up like Caligula, like
not everybody
nakedness.
Was naked.
Okay.
Our weird guy wasn't naked.
He was the only one.
And there's other people that were naked.
Well, I'm sorry, but there was more naked people than not. And there was also, like, let's be real, there was probably like 40 people in this cave now.
All of a sudden, there's a whole bunch
of people.
And they're all
crawling around on the ground.
Blood everywhere. They're like, they're putting meat, fresh meat on their face.
Yeah.
And they're like going,
dangling it. There's like one girl that you're kind of following who's crawling along naked and she's got socks on and nothing else. And she's like crawling around. There's like blood everywhere. She's like slippery and slimy. And it's like somebody's kind of dangling meat and she just kind of like puts her head up and kind of starts eating it a little bit. So I'm
we
like,
assume that,
are we watching Raw again?
Yeah. We assume that they've devoured a Mariano.
Right. And that it's definitely true because then we see that weird guy again. And he's just staring at everybody, almost in disbelief, almost like he's the only one not participating.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
And then you see Mariano's head smiling. And when I see head, I mean truly.
Yeah.
No. First you kind of see. Okay, I take it back. So you see like all of a sudden Mariano with that jacket on, which I was like, I said, wait, I thought he took that jacket off. But what you're seeing is like he's not really there anymore. You're seeing Mariano smiling and then at us the camera, but when the camera turns from his point of view, you see it's the little girl, the pregnant little girl, and the two of them have their hands holding and they're spinning around in circles very happily, and both of them are smiling and they're in this like happy moment, this happy place. And that's when we cut and we
smash
see
cuts into a decapitated
Mariano's
head
smiling.
Yeah,
somebody's holding
it
like off camera
and with
no body. Yeah, severed head.
Yeah.
And so then there's like it's like the aftermath and everybody's passed the fuck out, like naked, bloody everywhere, and you just see Fauna licking, I think, her brother's head wound or eating it.
Yeah, something.
She's like
yeah.
chewing it, or it's like a lot of like yeah. sounds. And she's going to town. And then all of a sudden she looks up as that weird guy, the weird guy that I keep calling weird guy. He goes, basically, for lack of better words, sings the happy birthday song to Mariano. Right. Yeah. He sings happy birthday Mariano in some weird song. And then, you know, because why not just sing to him while everyone else is singing? And who is this guy? I don't know.
Yeah.
But then some random dude wakes up. You called him a hipster. He's got like long curly hair. He's covered kind in a of naked
dirty
woman.
Blonde.
Yeah. He's covered in like a bloody naked woman who he just pushes off of her. He gets up and he walks out and you go, he's got a dress on.
Yeah.
So he's in a full dress and he walks out of this building and
like
I go,
fishnet stockings too.
And I went like this. Oh my God. He's in a like a different part of this building that we haven't been outside of yet. Like he's walking into a new place of this building.
He's walking out of the tunnel and the camera's over his shoulder following him.
And guess
and then
what?
we're like, wait a minute, it's a garage now. And we see cars. And then he walks out of the garage into the street. And there are people
everywhere.
It's like Mexico City or something.
It's just normal world. There's no apocalyptic anything.
And then
there's
goes,
no chaos.
It goes
nothing.
To red.
And not only that, but we follow him for a while up the street walking.
Yeah, but nothing really happens.
Yeah. But I was like, oh, there was nothing outside this whole time. And I was like, who the fuck are all these
people?
At
least we think.
No, yeah. No. That's not at least how we think. That is the truth.
Yeah.
There was no apocalyptic anything. So as we have learned time and time again, you should never hit stop before the credits are finished because there's always something, right? It wasn't much, but you flip back and this cave really was there and these like nude people are there and they've got blood all over their mouths. So it's like, I think it's just like, well, it definitely happened. I don't know. It's just like, yep, this happened.
It flashes back to it, but it doesn't,
Well, whatever.
I mean, we weren't questioning that it didn't happen.
Well, we were questioning, well, I don't know. I question all kinds of shit, but so anyway, when we were talking earlier and we were like, yeah, everything was possible. Okay. How is he reborn through a fucking birth canal?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really know.
I think we can't try to make sense of it, of this whole movie.
Except for the fact that there's,
it doesn't even go in a chronological order. It jumps all over it jumps time, like big chunks of it at times. It's so weird and bizarre.
Yeah.
You just kind of take what it's given on screen. You're like, oh, okay, they're having sex. Oh, this is happening. It's so hard to make out most of it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, if it's nothing more than, look, I work in DC and I pass a lot of people that I have seen like over the years, day in and day out, like the same kind of homeless people that talk to themselves and say really crazy shit. And
oh boy, here we go.
Just
be careful.
Saying,
okay.
No, I'm careful. Okay. But there's people that live in a different world. They literally live in a different world. And just like the darkness of kind of where they are, and they're very separate from the rest of the world, even though they're kind of in the middle of all of us, and we're going to work and walking to get lunch, and they are literally kind of alone with their thoughts, and they speak them out loud oftentimes.
Yeah.
And you know, so I was just like, okay, is this all just about a crazy homeless man? And who knows, maybe the brother and the sister, I'm making this up, but maybe the brother and sister left home because she was a little off her rocker, but the brother was trying to take care of her and kind of went with her, and here they ended up here, and she kind of went down the spiral of confusion and chaos and drugs and alcohol too. And then maybe there's a lot of orgies that happen in decaying warehouses.
Handful of you out there thinking, how the hell did they get to find this film? It was one of Shudder's exclusive.
Yeah. We love us some Shudder.
And it was sort of on their head, masthead.
It was in their hero, the carousel.
Hero, one of the hero image. Mm-hmm. So, and the poster looked interesting enough.
Creepy. The trailer is like, as soon as you hit play, I was like, I'm in. Looks good.
Well, I don't know if I was like that, but
I'm just saying I did.
So, and that's why. And it was interesting. So we started doing some background research on the film itself. Yeah. Apparently in Mexico, it won a D rating, which means it's the highest rating a film can get before it becomes pornographic.
Mm-hmm.
And only three films apparently to this day have gotten that rating.
Mm-hmm.
This movie...
Hostel
and Gasp and Gaspar Noé's Love. mm-hmm. or the movies they've gotten that. So it's like it's borderline gore, I guess, because hostile, mm-hmm. and if it's extreme sex.
And just to be clear, because when you told me that fact the first time, I thought you meant like those are the only three films that have ever gotten this rating of all time everywhere, like that, in America, in the porn ratings. Oh. But it was the movies that have been released in Mexico. Right. So and Hostel, yeah. I think I've mentioned Hostel before in the past, but I remember when that came out, I was into it because it was, I mean, it's totally ridiculous. It's total torture porn. It's disgusting. It's mm-hmm. gross. But especially the Achilles tendon cutting mm-hmm. scene. But it's graphic to be graphic. But I was kind of like, you know what? This is pretty different than things that are out these days. I don't know, like, if I rank these things in the same place. I mean, this is like... This also is the nudity. I think makes sense to get a pornographic rating because yeah. we are looking at real genitalia and up close and personal, and it's pretty graphic. And again,
the blowjob scene was really graphic,
very graphic. Yeah. And there's nothing like that in Hostel, if I remember correctly. Yeah. I mean, we have like eyeballs hanging out of faces yeah. and shit, but this
and I don't
like
know
that.
How it thematically like brother and sister having sex,
probably
yeah, whether that's.
Yeah,
you know,
so they
push it to
I wrote them all down.
Or not?
The second we hit stop, I wrote down, I think we've ticked all the boxes. Like, if there's something I'm missing in terms of, like,
what?
Really, okay, so incest, check. Torture.
Bestiality, check. There wasn't that.
Oh, yeah, you're right, no bestiality. Okay, yeah, you're right. Murder, we've got necrophilia, we've got cannibalism.
No.
She's on top of him,
I
writhing
know,
around.
Okay, but she wasn't.
You don't know. That's okay. Pretty sexual.
It is.
It's close enough for me. Cannibalism, rape.
I'm just saying by definition, it's just not, but
okay,
yeah.
Okay, well. What? Well, okay. You know what? I won't get into it. Urine and menstruation fetishism. I can't even say that. Fetishism. Oh my god! Say that word for me.
Fetishism.
See, it's impossible. Fetishism. Fetish.
But,
fetishism.
Fetish.
There you go. I got it.
But that wasn't urine. They showed urine, but that wasn't used sexually, or like feces weren't used sexually in this movie.
True. Right. Just the menstruation.
Mm-hmm.
Fetishism.
Yeah.
I said it that time. So we have everything but bestiality, pretty much.
And I don't want to talk about it. Like,
what?
Pedophilia. Yeah. It wasn't one
yeah,
either.
Totally.
Yeah. Wasn't in it.
Oh.
Was not.
Well, I was going to say it kind of is inferred if he's saying he's had thoughts about having sex with his mother and his mother was nothing but a young girl. And he's seeing her as a little girl. I don't know. They try to me, they're trying to like tick all the boxes, which makes this.
This has to be one of the most uncomfortable episodes, right?
Oh, yeah. We just we just got right into it. I think like for me, for the things that I can applaud about the movie, which goes to what some of the reviews said, you know, the camera work, the acting was really good.
Yeah.
Mariano's acting is so believable. I mean, I am.
It's good. It
totally,
good.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's
not that hard to play.
Even some of the lines.
But it's not that hard to play. Such an overacting crazy person, though.
Gosh, I don't know.
You know?
Yeah.
It's,
well,
yeah.
But basically, to try to, in my mind, like, check all these boxes off from, like, this horror genre, if you will. I don't even know. I mean, like, is it horror? I don't even know what this is.
Well, yeah, I think some people will, but it's not horror in our definition of it. And but it is.
It's
to
horrific.
Some.
It is horrific.
And it is to some though. Some people will say this is horror.
Yeah.
But
so anyway, to hit all these things, I think it's just so gratuitous. And I'm not saying it's like the scenes are gratuitous. I'm like, can you not have a good storyline that you're just like, I need to include everything, you know, every theme that you can possibly imagine from horror movies in this one.
Yeah.
It's a little cheap, right?
It's a little art house.
Totally.
And
it was apparently shown around like at a ton of,
independent film festivals.
They were like, they're calling it art and they're showing this everywhere. And it's like, this is not art. Come on, let's be real.
Well, hold up. It all depends on who, it's subjective, right?
Sure.
Who are we to say it? But I'll say this, that we can definitely agree on, is that I don't understand whether
I'll let you know if I agree.
Does this even have a script?
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know what I mean? Like, there isn't your traditional narrative a structure. So some of it, it's kind of, in the beginning, there is a little bit. And then
I think there's still a structure.
And then it gets so crazy by the time, like, the brother and the sister starts to have sex and everything starts to become like...
like a dreamlike sequence or something.
Like, yeah, it becomes...
I think that's part of why I was saying, like, is this about someone going unhinged? Either whether it be drugs or alcohol.
So, did you like it?
I will never watch it again. Like, I'll never watch it again. This is the thing. Like, did I like it?
Not a lot of movies we watch again.
I love a lot of horror movies that I'd watch a million times. I've seen a million horror movies over and over again, but a million, let's be real. I haven't watched a million movies.
Okay, I'm just saying most horror films we don't watch over again.
Yeah. Okay, so would you recommend this for our listeners to go watch?
It depends on the context. If I was trying to, like, say who's someone who's seasoned horror film, like, you gotta watch this. This is crazy. Like, yeah. You know, that, like, shocking. Sure. Like, you know, I'll put this on your...
most,
like,
shocking,
yeah,
list.
Like, check it off on your list or whatever. Yeah. Like, yeah, like, he's watched, like, this person or she has watched, like, all kinds of crazy fucked up films.
Yeah.
And wants to check it off and off of his list. Okay, here's another one.
I'd say...
like, have you ever, like, a Serbian film. Like, have you ever seen that movie? Like, oh my God, that's even grosser and shocking than
this. I really don't know if I'd ever recommend this. But, yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, compare it to one thing or the next. Like, maybe I'd say watch this over...
yeah.
You know, Hostel.
If someone was like, hey, can you give me a recommendation for a good
horror
film?
Never going to be
film?
This one, right.
I'd be like, unless I hate that person, I'd be like, hey, watch this. You'll love it. Yeah. Watch it till the end.
You'll love it. You'll love it. Well, I'm going to say I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. I'd say there's parts of it I enjoy. How about this? Parts of it I appreciated. Didn't enjoy. How about that?
There's parts of it I appreciated as well, Tracy.
And didn't enjoy it? So guess what? That's right. We've got listener mail. And I love it. The subject line just says plasma.
Plasma.
Plasma, even though Minky thought plasma was just the same thing as blood, which if it is, then why would
educated.
You call it plasma?
Yeah, I was educated. Well, scientific term, and then, you know, whatever.
Okay, whatever. Yeah. So we got an email from Aaron. Aaron writes us and says, hi, Minky and Tracy! 5 exclamation points. I mean, I have to infer what this sounded like while she was typing it in her head, right? She says... I just finished listening to your Cherry Falls episode, obviously, and I have 2 comments. 1, I remember kids at VCU selling their plasma when I was there! Exclamation point times 3. 2002,
so she graduated years later.
2002 to 2006. All right, so that was a comment for those of you who haven't listened to Cherry Falls yet, when we were talking about what kids do to make a dollar when they're
money.
In college, yeah. And I talked about how kids at where I went definitely sold their plasma. Minky had never heard of such a thing. And Aaron here, a lovely Aaron, is telling him he's wrong. People at VCU definitely did it. Number 2.
I hate you.
Number 2. I totally know what microfiche is and have used it in the library when I was in high school. So we've got somebody who remembers microfiche.
And her high school wasn't very rich.
Her high school wasn't rich? It's like they still have microfiche today.
Because I don't think our school had it, and I graduated like in the 90s, and they were like going out then.
I think we still had it, and I remember, did we still have it? I'm pretty sure we still had it. Gosh. And that freaking card catalog for libraries. Like,
what was that called?
Catalog.
No, but there was like a system.
Oh, like the
Dewey Decimal System?
When we look at each other like...
is that it?
When we put 1 and 1 together, yeah. 2 and 2 yeah. together. Okay. Also, she says, for your suggestion and recommendation for movies, which we're asking all of you to write us in for a suggestion if you don't want us to cover a movie like the one we've just covered, there is a film that just popped into my head, maybe related to your commentary on Cherry Falls with the whole virginity thing, and it's called Teeth.
Yeah.
From 2007. And then she says, keep it up. So fun to listen.
Thanks, Aaron,
for writing in. Thank you for validating my thing where kids definitely sell plasma and that microfiche still existed when you were in high school.
Yep.
And you know what? We are going to watch Teeth next week or whenever it is that I see you again.
Next week. What do
next
you mean?
Week? All right. Well, I just don't know what day. So, but next episode will be about teeth.
Teeth.
Which, do you know? I've actually never watched it.
I started.
But
to
you never
watch
finished it.
It. Yeah, I was. You know, like, gotten to the point where she gets goes
don't,
to the doctor.
No, shit.
Okay.
We don't do that until the episode up. So I only generally know what it's about. I kind of just know what it's about, but I don't know anything else. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to watch it. Thank you for the recommendation. And what else do we need to tell you guys? I think, you need to email us,
yeah,
first of all, and it's onefinalscare@gmail.com. I'll say that again, onefinalscare@gmail.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook. And if you need some merch, go to redbubble.com.
Okay. This is Minky.
This is Tracy.
Goodbye.
Bye.